While the Zionists in the occupied Palestine are blowing young children and babies to pieces with their American-supplied bombs, Americans in the U.S. are stabbing Palestinian children to death. Being a Muslim and Palestinian is now enough to be murdered in cold blood in the United States of America. 6-year-old Wada'a Al-Fayoum is the latest victim of this hatred, but he is not likely to be the last. American criminality knows no bounds. According to Arab News, the Muslim Civil Liberties Organization called the crime our worst nightmare and part of a disturbing spike in hate calls and emails since the outbreak of the operation in Palestinian territories. The group cited text messages exchanged among family members that showed the attacker had made disparaging remarks about Muslims. Ahmad Rahab, the group's executive director, said, "Palestinians basically again with their hearts broken over what's happening to their people have to also worry about the immediate safety of life and limb living here in the United States."
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies from all around the world. Welcome back to a new episode of your own program, Muslim Lady. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Asma. I have the honor to be your host once more. And here we have Sister Zainab with us. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Walaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. Well, recently we've been talking about how to protect women from the harms of society. And we went through some points which were so important and crucial to know about. One of them was to give women some active roles and at the same time provide them with peace of mind so that they could study, educate themselves, gain knowledge, and do tasks in society without caring about, okay, I'm second citizen, I'm this gender, there's the other gender, and there are too much of problems that might occur in the middle of the way. So this was one. And the other one was the responsibility of the other members of society as men to be kind toward women and practice gentleness with these delicate creatures. So right now, I'm sure you have some more points to mention.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, thank you for that summary. So I would actually add on to that awareness and literacy point. We have to provide awareness and literacy towards women, towards protecting women, because, yeah, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the good of this world and the hereafter is in knowledge, and the evil of this world and hereafter is in ignorance. So as long as we as women or even men are ignorant towards something, it only contains evil for them. Exactly. Be that in this world, be that for the hereafter. So knowledge, you know, knowledge is very, very important, which has been emphasized so much in our religion.
Oh, we have it in our heritage. Many times there are so many narrations from the Prophet and from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that encourage us to go for education.
Right. So, you know, by educating both men and women about, you can educate them about specific issues which are related, which could do harm to women, like gender equality. Guide them about gender equality, guide them about consent and women rights, because consent is something very important. You know, sometimes males think that they can achieve anything from a woman in the society, in the workplace, in, you know, any sphere of the society. So it's important to educate both men and women about the issues like gender equality, about consent, about
women's
woman
rights.
Without the consent of a woman in Islam, even her marriage is not
acceptable.
Yes. So her consent is very, very important. But, you know, society in some spheres, like be that at workplace, be that at education centers or many places, the consent of a woman is not considered.
That's why we have harassment in
right.
society.
Right. We have harassments, we have abuses. So we need to be guiding both men mm-hmm. and women regarding this, because if women do not have knowledge about this, I have this power, they themselves will go under the that, you know, they will easily be a trap of that harassment and
exactly.
abusive behavior.
Yeah.
So promoting literacy among women empowers them to make informed decisions. They can access resources. They can advocate for their rights.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of harassment, there's something I remembered, and I think it's nice to just add it in here. Well, I suppose many times the harassments happen because a woman, as you just mentioned, that's why we have to acknowledge our daughters, our girls, about important rights of women or about how to behave in society as a woman, as this delicate creature. So I guess the harassments happen. You said that there is no consent. Yeah, I accept it. But then the behavior that a woman might show in society might make her as an easy target for those people who are ignorant
because of her own ignorance. That's
yeah.
why I said in the very beginning of the episode, awareness and education is very important.
Exactly.
So that she gets out of this trap. She herself needs to be educated.
So every place.
The men around need to be educated.
Exactly.
In the, you know, this education is such a powerful tool that can help women break free from the cycle of oppression and discrimination. If we are there as a society to promote this education,
yeah.
to promote this awareness about women's rights, we are actually empowering women to advocate for themselves and demand the respect they deserve.
All I meant to say was that actually every place and every people, every audience have got their own way. So you should know where, how to react in front of whom.
And how.
So consider every little detail about your audience, about the place you are. As in, like in university, you cannot have the same behavior as you have it when you are with your friends.
Right.
I know that might come out of simply your character, your personality, you're a vivacious person or whatever. But as a woman, as a Muslim lady, you have to control your passions. You have to control so many of your kindness in front of men, these strangers, actually, in order to protect yourself, to shield yourself from the coming problems. Yeah. So I guess right now it's good to go for a short break, for a sip of water, and then we'll be back.
¶¶
Yes, to learn new things is always a virtue. To gain knowledge would always protect you from the possible problems that might get into your way, into the path of your life. And as Muslim ladies, you have to work on your knowledge more and more in order to shield yourself from the coming problems. So this is Muslim Lady, Sister Zainab and I. We're talking about how to protect women from the harms of society.
Yes, so it's important to give women independence, to make choices about mm-hmm. their lives, about their bodies, about their reproductive health, because yeah. in many traditional societies that is not respected.
Now again, we come to a controversial issue. See, when we say freedom, when we say independence, all of these points might get to some special ideas that are not what we actually mean according to Islamic narration.
I will add that.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that sometimes when we say independence, you should have it in mind that we, before independence, mentioned knowledge.
Right, right. And, you know, it's important to support the autonomy of women and respect their decisions. Women are not creatures or like who are second-class citizens or
the other gender.
They come from another planet. Their decisions do not matter.
Aliens.
It matters a lot. We must respect their decisions. We must ensure that they're not controlled.
Yeah.
And they are not limited by societal expectations. When I say independence, I mean to say Islam is not against the fact that if women want to pursue their dreams, if they want to fulfill their potential and live a life, they want to choose. But what is important is there, the mixing of men and women is not liked in Islam. What I mean by mixing is, again, you know...
Because that would lead into harms and damage.
Right.
You know, if not being controlled.
Exactly. Both men and women should comply to it. Like, if this sensitivity that Islam has actually mentioned towards the relationships, if it's respected, all the things that men can do in the social arena, women can also do it.
Exactly.
Provided if they have that physical strength, if they have that enthusiasm, if they have those opportunities.
But what if his dignity is going to be kept.
Right. What is more important over here to for that safe environment and healthy environment is the hijab that Islam has determined that should be observed, which is one of the prominent rules of Islam for the safety of both men and women.
Exactly.
When I say hijab, it's not only the women who have to put a headscarf and they can go out and do anything they want. Hijab is for both men and women.
Well, actually, hijab is not just for the body. It's for your ears, for your eyes, for your mouth. All of them must be actually covering themselves with virtue.
Right. So, you know, it's very important to practice that modesty. It's very important to maintain that chastity, to practice modesty, to dress properly, to not to engage yourself in, unimportant talks.
Exactly.
And unimportant meetings or unimportant jobs, which
are extra gatherings.
Yeah. Be moderate and try not to get involved in unnecessary, especially conversations, mm-hmm. because ladies.
These are actually how to protect yourself.
Right. Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the worst people in my eyes are those who engage themselves in the unnecessary conversations.
Yeah.
And they put on the colorful clothes, they eat the luxurious foods, and only conversate unnecessary things. So these are the worst kind of people. In front of
exactly.
me. So knowing her as the role model in the Islamic perspective, we must be very careful about in our social engagements, whenever we are going
exactly.
out, who are we talking to, what we're wearing, how we are engaging in the society. So apart from these things, what is very important that could actually help from a lot of to keep away from a lot of damage of the society is attention. Like they say, children cry for attention, adults die for attention, especially when it's women.
Mm-hmm.
So attention is not only a necessity just for children, as I mentioned, it's also important for adults. Like as we are very careful about children should get all attention, the adults, the mothers, need it more than the children. It's crucial for women
actually,
to receive
that attention.
Actually,
there is a point to mention. Attention is a necessary point in female character, but then again, she has to be educated where to offer that attention and when to want that from the environment.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
It's very important to understand that this attention should be received in the family itself.
Exactly.
If she does not get that attention in the family, it's very, very easy for her to, you know, to become
to
a prey
get
for the
in
society.
Traps of other
exactly.
attention givers.
Yeah, so when I say attention, I'm just referring to her family members that mm-hmm. this attention is crucial for her to receive because she deserves that in all forms and all aspects of her life.
Yeah.
Be that her concerns, be that her needs, be that her aspirations. You know, sometimes a woman keeps on achieving things and you have nothing to do. You don't have anything to encourage. That's also you're not paying
yeah.
attention. So, you know, sometimes...
So the fathers and the husbands have to be like the
brothers,
people who support
yes.
them, who always encourage them, who give them that attention that they're in need of.
Yes, give that attention to their voices, to their experiences, because by giving that, they don't need, to find that in a society.
Exactly.
Rather, by giving that attention in the family, in the home, we are creating a society that values and contributes and ensures the well-being of a society.
Yeah, so, and also, never let a woman think that she has been taken for granted, because that would lead to some dangerous places.
And we should also hold media accountable for, you know, perpetuating harmful stereotypes.
Exactly, yeah, that's very important. The responsibility and the task of the media is so big that because they can change the stereotypes and they can add some new stereotypes
right.
into the head of women and men as well. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. We talked about how to protect ourselves from the harms of society. We said that education would bring a strength. With education, you're not going to get in the trap of ignorance. If you know more about the rules of your religion, if you know how protective Allah is of his delicate creatures, of these ladies out there, then you would never leave any space for these strangers to come and abuse you or get you into harassments or whatsoever. So, yes, I hope you'd always be protected by Allah's never-sleeping eyes. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us ponder on a wise saying from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. Anger is the key to every evil. Bye.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى ودین
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
Living under unacceptable conditions.
I'm here to bring strong solidarity of the United Nations and international community for people of Palestine. Enormous destruction in Gaza is a source of pain to me personally, and it's a shame to the international community. No amount of Security Council sessions, reports, or briefings could have prepared me for what I witnessed today. I saw whole community completely destroyed. More than 500 children were killed during the conflict. What have they done wrong? Being born in Gaza is not a crime.
After three wars, you cannot forget Gaza. You cannot forget the underlying political issues in Gaza. And you need the government of national consensus to be empowered in Gaza. Otherwise, you are investing again maybe into a political black hole. You need a more stable ceasefire. That's why I've been calling for a reconstruction hutna.
More
More than a year after the war was waged by the Israeli regime on the Gaza Strip, and approximately a year after the Cairo Donors Conference was held for rebuilding Gaza, the reconstruction project is still teetering between the cruelty of the siege and the procrastination of the Israeli regime that destroyed tens of thousands of housing units and displaced more than 100,000 people, leaving displacement and housing crisis in its wake.
Despite the destruction, there are signs of hope. The international community has mobilized $5.4 billion in aid for Gaza reconstruction. In addition to this, we are asking the authorities of Israel to open all these crossings and ease restrictions so that there can be free movement in and out of this Gaza.
I'm not defending the donors or the international community, but in Cairo conference, which I was there actually, you know, they talked about, they put some conditions to rebuild Gaza. They need political stability. And they talk about, you know, they need guarantees that what they will be building in Gaza again, not being destroyed again, because you have, you know, hundreds of shelters, the same people, that their shelters had been destroyed in 2008 and we rebuilt them, and 2012 and we rebuilt them, and the same shelters in 2014 also had been destroyed.
The international community requested assurances from the Israeli regime not to target the Strip after being reconstructed. To many, the displaced people have been living under unacceptable conditions. First, they dwelt in UNRWA schools. Then they were evacuated with the beginning of the academic year. Some of them had to rent houses they were unable to afford. So most of them had no option but to live in tent shelters as a temporary solution. Those who could took shelter in wooden houses, which were less dangerous and more comfortable than the tin caravans. Officials and experts believed that the Gaza reconstruction does not take a long time. However, the obstacles imposed by the Israeli regime prevented what was planned for the reconstruction and for the citizens who are still waiting to return to their homes as soon as possible. After negotiations between the Israeli regime and the United Nations, the regime managed to convince the international community to pass a resolution about the siege of Gaza through a Gaza reconstruction plan when the so-called Sari plan was agreed upon by the United Nations and the Israelis. Strangely enough, the United Nations announced months after the agreement on the Gaza plan that the Strip needed 100 years to be reconstructed.
We made an agreement among UN, Palestine, and Israel. I had very serious discussions on this issue with Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, that all the deliveries for reconstruction should be delivered timely, without any bureaucratic hurdles, and effectively. The United Nations system will fully engage in this. Mr. Robert Seri will continue to very closely check and discuss, consult with the authorities concerned.
Are we going to reconstruct Gaza for the third time for it to see be destroyed again? That's why I also have been so much involved, and in particular also in my last months with Gaza. We have brokered the agreement, which is now even carrying my name, to bring the construction materials in. That's not enough. It's going too slow. And indeed, if we don't change the dynamics in Gaza, then I'm worried again, pessimistic, that what we have seen happening every time and again, that Gaza explodes, that it could happen again.
Although owners of the ruined houses have no problem with the Sari plan, nothing has been done so far, because first of all, the rubble has to be cleared away. Statistics show the war has left nearly 2.2 million tons of rubble. It's impossible to get rid of this mind-boggling amount, but with machineries old and out of order. Some owners of these totally destroyed houses have not given up removing the rubble, hoping they will rebuild them anew. Meanwhile, those whose houses were partially destroyed managed to repair them, although the cash they received did not help them much. All agree that the slowdown in the reconstruction is due to the slow process of transferring funds pledged by the donor countries at the Cairo conference, where UNRWA received only $270 million, while the required budget is much more.
We asked for $724 million in Cairo conference. We got $270 million only. Part of it went for the rental subsidies for those whose shelters had been completely destroyed or severely damaged. The other part, you know, went for tens of thousands of families to repair, you know, their shelters with minor repair. And the other part, it is very tiny, very small part. We are talking about hundreds only. It will go for the totally damaged shelters through the Ministry of Housing and Public Affairs.
The first phase of rebuilding entirely destroyed houses began with some amount of the money pledged by some states at the Cairo conference. However, that was hardly enough for a few hundreds whose houses had been totally destroyed. Thousands of families are still displaced and homeless.
We are afraid that, you know, that people, the trust of people in UNRWA and other organizations is not like, you know, before, because the people after Cairo conference, the expectation were very high, you know, among the people, and we expect that they will see, you know, their homes being built again.
Even if the reconstruction of what had been destroyed by the Israeli regime was completed, the housing crisis could still remain, with the growing population crammed on a small geographical spot called the Gaza Strip. There are tens of thousands of houses in need of housing, while the infrastructure is devastated, vulnerable, and in dire need of rehabilitation.
It never happened in such tiny place that you have 2 million of people and nearly 300 square kilometers and no export, no life, no water, no jobs. Nearly 60% of the young people from age 20 to 29, they are unemployed. The poverty line, that 70% of the population under the poverty line, working under the siege and under the blockade will lead to nothing, actually. What we are doing here is to keep people surviving. We are not talking about quality of life in Gaza. Just we are talking about life in a life. If you look deeply in what is going on in Gaza, you will find out big slogan that there is no tomorrow in Gaza.
Perhaps that thing so powerfully symbolizes this sum of suffering and one of the most important issues, the lifting siege. and easing movement and restriction. That is a basic human rights of Palestinian people. There can be no peace in the Middle East, no security for Israel, while the crisis in Gaza festers. The build-destroy cycle must be broken.
The Gaza Strip does not need any reconstruction. The blockade imposed by Israel has to be lifted. The regime also has to promise that it will not wage yet another war to bring about more displacement and destruction.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, salamu alaikum and welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us till the end of this episode. This is today's special and we're going to speak about bad language in Islam. Today, Wednesday, 2nd of Rabiul Thani, 1445. Of course, it's according to lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 26th of Meh, 1402 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar and the 8th of October, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today and from the Holy Quran, we choose verse 11 of chapter Hujarat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum wala nisa'un min nisa'in asa an yakun خيرا منهم ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ
O you who have believed, let not a people ridicule another people, perhaps they may be better than them. Nor let women ridicule other women, perhaps they may be better than them. And do not insult one another, and do not call each other by offensive nicknames. Wretched is the name of disobedience after one's faith. And whoever does not repent, then it is those who are the wrongdoers.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Addressed to believers, the blessed verse in question is saying that you who believe should abstain from deriding your believing brethren. You are unaware of their hearts and acts. Those who have subject to your derision may be better than you. Believing women are strictly forbidden from deriding other women and casting sarcastic remarks upon them, since they are unaware of their excellence over them. The blessed verse provides believers with guidance and admonition to the effect that whenever they intend to deride someone, expose their faults, insult or reproach him, or entertain evil thought about him, they are supposed to consider their own deeds. Such derision of believers is one of the most reprehensible demerits.
Accept my prayer, ya Rabb al-alamin, ya Rahman ya Rahim.
Yes, we're speaking about bad language in Islam. Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, reviling a Muslim is an act of outrage, means moral depravity, and fighting against him is an act of disbelief or kufr. In the case of a dispute arising between two persons, neither should have recourse to using vulgar and obscene phrases, reviling the other party or calling him names. Acting in this manner makes the dispute more complex and difficult to settle. One of the disputants may have been the victim of injustice, but this does not grant him the right to abuse the other party or call him names. The Prophet said, the one who starts abusing his fellow Muslim and calling him names bears the sin of both, unless the abused person uses more vulgar phrases than the first. This means that the person who starts insulting a Muslim or calling him names will bear the sin incurred by such an act for both of them, unless the second party uses more severe and vulgar phrases than the first. Yet, sticking to patience and forgiving people is far better for the Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going to talk about the worldly and hereafter consequences of profanity and bad language from the viewpoint of Islam and the Holy Prophet and his successors. Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, Hussein ibn Ali, known for his stand for justice and righteousness, spoke about the inner purification of the soul. He said, he who has you, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He who has you, Allah, as a friend, has no right to feel desolate. He who has you, O Allah, as an enemy, has no need of any other enemy. Acts of worship and prayer are central to Islamic practice. Offensive language can disrupt these acts, making it challenging for individuals to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a meaningful way. Ahlulbayt of the Holy Prophet and their teachings emphasize the importance of prayer and devotion in one's spiritual journey. Imam Ali alayhi salam, known for his devout worship, once said, prayer is the pillar of the religion. So whoever establishes it, establishes the religion. And whoever destroys it, destroys the religion. So we see that this profanity and bad language actually destroys the whole prayers and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Know your triggers. Hey, this is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about fear. Your triggers are the whys and whens of your cursing habit. Recognizing triggers gives you the upper hand with which you need to stop this habit. You want to be aware of the trigger feelings that prompt you to curse. Dear brothers and sisters, fear can cause you to curse and swear because you don't want to deal with something unfamiliar or uncomfortable. Fear can manifest from something tangible like physical pain, or it can be abstract like anticipating something. In any case, the pain is real and you're afraid to face what's causing it. Instead of taking control of fear, you curse to dissipate your discomfort.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
This part, ways to control your tongue. Backbiting and lying are big sins and forbidden in the Quran and as much in various traditions or ahadith. Research and learn the punishment for backbiting. One of the punishments is in the grave, so you can keep away from this sin by trying to visualize and seeing how they would feel. If it's swearing or cursing you want to leave behind, it is helpful to remind ourselves of the angels who write down all that we utter. Do we really want to make the angel record profanity? Do we want such vile words to be our last if the angel of death were to take our soul in that moment?
Now those who have doubts about swearing, or those who reject this ziyara, or this hadith, or that hadith, because it curses the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your number one source is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See what the Holy Quran says when it comes to the issue of swearing. In the Holy Quran, there are 37 verses that explicitly mention the la'an of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 37 verses. I tell you, there are many important topics in the religion of Islam that you don't have 37 verses dedicated to them, discussing them. Therefore, this, number one, brings to our attention that this is something very important. It's part and parcel of the Holy Quran. You know, you only need one verse in the Holy Quran to validate anything. How about if you have 37 verses? You have the verse in the Holy Quran in Surah Sad, verse 78. in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses the devil. This is a recurring verse in the Holy Quran, in which God's most avowed enemy, the shaitan, is being cursed. وَأَنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. My curse shall include you until the appointed day. Until either day of judgment or the dhuhur of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala faraja. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So today we had a beneficial and wonderful program. We learned many things about controlling our tongue. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us, and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran's leader calls for trial of Israeli officials, warning if the regime's crimes against Palestinians continue, then no one can stop Muslims and their resistance forces. An Israeli airstrike on a hospital in Gaza City kills hundreds of Palestinians, with hundreds of others still trapped under rubble. The Hamas says that Israel's attack on the hospital in Gaza that killed at least 500 people proves regime's brutality and extent of its feeling of defeat. Hello, everybody, and welcome to World News. Leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says Israel.